Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the
talking about the blood moons tonight, and the blood moons are one of the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ. But before we begin, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. For those who are listening tonight, joining with us, and tonight, if anybody is listening, if you want to ask any questions or have any comments, all you have to do is press 1, and we will pause and let you make your comment or ask your question. Amen. So let's begin. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, this time, for this hour. We thank you, God, for all that you've done, doing, and God, all that you are going to do. And we pray, Father, that your will shall be done, and that our ears shall be open to hear what your spirit is saying, and that our eyes shall be open to see the signs that, God, that you are showing to us as your people in these last and evil days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So tonight, again, we're talking about the blood moons. And I'll admit me myself, I lately hadn't paid too much attention to the blood moons. But the reason why I feel that this topic is very important to talk about or to discuss is because it is one of the signs before Jesus Christ returns. There is a convincing scripture that convinces me to talk about why it is one of the signs before Christ returns. And for those of you who have your Bible, it's written in the New Testament of Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. In Acts chapter 2, verse 20, the book of Acts is after we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then after the book of John, then you have the book of Acts, the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, these are the words. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness. The sun shall be turned into darkness. And the moon into blood. And the moon into blood. And then notice what it says. Before that great and notable day of the Lord. Before that great and notable day of the Lord. So this is why we're going to talk about this topic tonight. And the reason why, again, all over the internet, it has been posted on Facebook. It has been definitely seen on YouTube, whereas in it began in 2014 where they had blood moons back-to-back. And if my information is correct, the last couple of blood moons we have had for this year have also been back-to-back, and it was mostly on Jewish holidays or Jewish holy days. And so therefore, it is believed that in the same month of September, between September the 23rd or September the 27th, there's going to be one more blood moon. And it is believed that this blood moon is supposed to be huger than all the rest of the blood moons. And so if this blood moon is one of the signs of Christ's return, surely we as the people of God want to be ready. We want to be ready. Amen. And so tonight, how we can be ready, according to the Bible, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if you will confess or admit within your mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, it says you shall be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, or admitting that you believe on the basically the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says you shall be saved. Verse 13 says, so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so therefore, we call it the sinner's prayer, or we call it the prayer of salvation. And it's a simple prayer to simply say, okay, God, I believe that you are real. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins in my place, and that he was buried and he rose again. Lord Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord and Savior, and I ask you to come into my heart or come into my life and save me. And because Jesus said he didn't leave us comfortless, and the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13 that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is a seal of God. We're also going to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit as your sign, as your seal, that I'll have the power to live for you. And Romans 8 and 9 says, if any man or any person don't have the Spirit of Christ, they are none of his. They don't belong to God or they don't belong to Christ. So at the end of this broadcast, we will also go back through the same prayer, because we want to make sure that we give you as many opportunities as possible to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, we're not saying particularly that just because this blood moon may appear during this month, that this will be the exact day and hour or time that Jesus will return, because the Bible makes it clear and says, no man knows the hour nor the time that the Son of Man shall appear. But here's what Jesus said. He told us to watch as well as pray. He told us to watch because you don't know what hour or time the Son of Man is going to return. So therefore, if he tells us to watch, he gave us signs to watch. And he also said that when you see these things happening, know that the Son of Man is even at the door. So for those of us who are not watching, here's what the Bible says. The Bible basically says that you are dumb, you are deaf, and you are blind. You're dumb, deaf, and blind. I think it's written in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus makes this statement where he says that some people have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Okay. So, therefore, if you have eyes and you can't see, that's a sign of being blind. Okay? And then if you have ears and you cannot hear, then that's a sign of being deaf. And if you don't have knowledge about something, then you are dumb to the fact about the particular thing. So Jesus is saying that you are dumb, deaf, and blind to certain things, especially to the things of God. Paul says, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So without further ado, we're going to go into the scriptures and talk about these blood moons. First of all, I want you to, we're going to pray first. Well, yeah, we already prayed. We pray tonight that your ears will be open and your hearts will be open to receive the word of God and what God is saying to us in these last days. Amen. So we're going to begin with Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, it shows that God has always and already stated from way back then that he would do things as signs in the heaven. He would do things as a sign in the heavens. And we go to Genesis chapter 1, and we begin at verse 14. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament, and that word firmament means all the sky of heaven, to divide or separate the day from the night. And let them be for, notice what he says, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God says that the lights that are placed in the heavens would be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Okay? So, and then we go down to verse 15 and verse 16, and he says, and let them be for lights in the firmament or sky ports of heaven. And then he tells why, to give light upon the earth, to give light upon the earth. And not only would it be a light as in a reflection so we could see with our natural eyes what's going on, but in a spiritual sense, it represented the signs that our eyes or our spiritual eyes would need to be open to see and to understand what God was doing. And the Bible says, and it was so. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, it was talking about natural light, as in the sun and the moon and the stars. And so when we go to verse 16, here's what it says. And God made two great lights. So God made two great or two huge or large lights. Or here's what those lights were. Or made the sun and the moon. And then it says, the greater light to rule, or the sun to shine in the day. or the daytime. And the lesser light to rule, and the lesser light to rule or the moon to overpower or shine in the night. And then it says he made the stars also. So all three of these are a form of light, that when we look up into the heaven, we see them shine, they give light unto the earth. Amen. And symbolically, I want you to understand that, I don't want to get all into this and we get off track. The sun represents a male in one sense, and the moon represents a woman, and the stars can also represent children, I think, when we go to Genesis chapter 37. But tonight we're not talking about just symbolism. We're talking about to be able to look up into the very heavens and see these stars and the moon and the sun, and to actually see physically what God is doing in the atmosphere. And I will also go here because sometimes the stars, even God took the stars and he drew certain shapes with the stars. And some of us can look at the stars and we see a symbol or like a drawing of the Big Dipper. But it's also believed that God drew the signs of the zodiac signs. But here's another illustration. It is believed that God also drew a picture of a man crushing a scorpion. A man crushing a scorpion. And so what does this man crushing the scorpion would have to do with us? But it would deal with the very fact that God had already said in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, because God had already saw that mankind was going to fall, that Adam was going to fall. He already saw this in eternity. And so therefore, God was going to allow what was in eternity to come forth in time, in the earth. So eternity is the heaven. God already saw Adam was going to fall into sin, and that mankind would become sinful. And so Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus was the lamb slain from, and that word from there also means before the foundation of the world. When we go to Ephesians chapter 1, it says that God had chosen us to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. So therefore, in other words, before man was ever made to ever sin, before any book was ever written, before a man was ever made, God had already chose Christ to be slain from or before the foundation of the world, because in his foreknowledge, he already saw that man was going to mess up, and so Christ would be the remedy for our sin. And so the man crushing the scorpion or stepping on the scorpion, like a snake, has a sting, and is dealing with the scripture in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, after sin had came into the world, when Adam and Eve was made physical human beings, and when they sinned against God, God told the serpent, which was symbolic to Satan or the devil, he said to him, "I will put enmity," and the word enmity means hatred, strife, or a dislike, "between thee and the woman, between thy seed," or your seed, devil, and then it says, "and her seed," her seed. So her seed here represents the virgin birth, that Jesus would be born of a virgin. "And it," or the seed of the woman, "shall bruise your head," bruise your head, "and thou shalt bruise his heel." So therefore, Jesus would bruise the head of the serpent, the devil. And some believe that it's talking about stepping on the head of a snake or a serpent, which is illustrated in some of our old biblical books, and also displayed in the Mel Gibson movie called The Passion of the Christ. Nowhere in the New Testament does it ever show that Jesus was in a garden and a snake came and Jesus got up and stepped on the serpent. It doesn't show that nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, nor John. But what Mel Gibson was trying to do, he was trying to show us that Christ came to destroy the works of the serpent, the works of the devil, that he was going to crush the head of the serpent. But then, from a spiritual point of view, and from another understanding, we have to understand who the head of the serpent was. And when we search it out real good, we'll find out that Adam, who had sinned, he was the first head man of God. So therefore, since Adam was the first man, he automatically was in head position. So he had to decide whether he was going to be a head man for God by listening to God and obeying what God said, or if he had listened to the voice of the devil through his wife, which he did, he became the head man of sin. And so therefore, if Jesus would come and crush the head of the devil or the serpent or the snake, it simply meant that he was going to cut off Adam from being the head man for God's people to follow as a godly example. Because if you're following the devil, that's not a godly example. You're not following the right path. So this is why when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, around the third verse, it tells us that, you know, the head of man now is Jesus Christ. Whereas in the head man of humanity once upon a time was Adam, according to the book of Luke chapter 3. It says Adam, which was a son of God, if you read the genealogy on down. So Christ is going to replace Adam and cut him off as the head man. So when was Jesus' heels was going to be bruised? His heels, according to scriptures, the only time Jesus' heels were ever bruised or anything was ever done to his feet were at the cross. So the serpent would bruise his heel. In other words, the serpent would crush, bruise, or pierce his heels, and it was done at the cross of Calvary. Amen. So see, what happens is, how we see this is this, from the simple fact that a serpent strikes at a man or a person to kill a person, especially if this is a poisonous snake. So therefore, what God allowed to happen in the New Testament, which we go all the way back to Psalms 22:16, God says, the dogs have, compassed me. You know, they pierce my hands and my feet. They pierce my hands and my feet. This was a statement said by David, which did not happen to David personally, but David was simply saying that someone in my family line, hands and feet, were going to be pierced. And this was talking about Jesus Christ. I mean, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And we can get deeper, but I'm not going to go there, to Zechariah 12 and 10. But anyway, as we go further, when the Roman soldiers took a hammer and a nail and began to strike that nail through his feet, like I said, a serpent was used because it strikes, and God was simply saying that Christ's feet were going to be striked with a hammer and nail to be pierced or bruised, and it happened on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So, yes. So therefore, when the painting or God used the stars to paint a man crushing a scorpion, it was simply saying that Christ was going to destroy the sting of death, and he did it through the cross. He's going to take on death for us, be buried, and rise again from death. Amen. So now God has shown us here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and 16, that he was going to use the stars, the sun, and the moon as signs. And so we go also to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. In Psalms chapter 19, we begin at verse 1. We're going to read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. In Psalms chapter 19, the book of Psalms is in the Old Testament. beginning with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and then Psalms. Yeah. Right after the book of Job, some of y'all might think it's spelled Job, J-O-B, but it's called the book of Job. So the book of Job, after the book of Job, then you have the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 19. Here's what verse 1 says. It says, the heavens declare, and this word declare means or tell of the glory of God. They tell of the glory of God. And that word glory of God simply means of the pleasure of God, or it tells of what God is doing. And it says, and the firmament or sky showeth his handiwork. The firmament of the sky showeth his handiwork. It shows what God is doing as far as the signs and the seasons, and it shows what God has done. That basically that there is a creator, because some people deny that there is a God. Some people deny that Jesus was even born. Some people deny that Jesus was virgin born. Some will deny that he was born, but they deny that he ever, that he lived the sin of his life, or say that he had sinned somewhere in his life. Some deny his death. Some are denying his resurrection, and also some are denying his return. And I would like to dig into that a little bit, but we're going to go on with these scriptures. So Psalms 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare or tell of the glory of God, and the firmament or the sky showeth his handiwork. And verse 2 says, day unto day uttereth speech. Day unto day uttereth speech. Or it is speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And night unto night showeth knowledge. Night after night showeth knowledge. Amen. So God is using the things of the heaven to speak to us and to give us knowledge of what's going on. But the question is, are we looking up? Are we being watchful? And verse 3 says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, regardless of what language you speak, when you look up, and you see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the things that God is doing in the heavenly atmosphere, you have to understand and acknowledge that there has to be a God somewhere. Amen. Because who made the sun, the moon, and the stars? And so verse 4 says, their line are things seen in the sky, or seen in the sky, in the parts of heaven is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle or tent for the sun. So in other words, people all over the world is able to see these signs. Amen. Now we go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. So God already established in Genesis chapter 1 that the sun, moon, and the stars and the things of heaven would be for signs and seasons. And we see in Psalms chapter 19, the psalmist, David, says that the things of heaven is speaking to us. They are speaking to us. So what is God is saying to us in these signs in the heaven? So let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke is in the New Testament. The first book is Matthew, Mark, and then there's the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, and we're going to begin at verse 25. And these are the words that Jesus himself spoke. Amen. Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, Jesus said, and there shall be signs, and then he points out where these signs are going to be. He says, in the sun, there shall be signs in the sun. And then the second thing he points out where signs are going to be, he says, and in the moon. And in the moon. And the third thing he says where these signs will be, he says, and in the stars. And number four, and upon the earth. So there will be signs definitely in the heavens through the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he says, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, or with despair or very rough or hard times. And then he says, the sea and the waves roaring. So he tells us what some of the signs would be upon the earth. You know, nations will be in distress, you know, or have very hard times. And then he says, the sea and the waves roaring. That's on earth. Okay, and then verse 26, he says, men's hearts failing them. Men's hearts failing them. Or people will faint or have heart attacks. And then it tells why. For fear. Fear is going to come to man. And then it says, and for looking after or after seeing those things which are coming on earth. For because the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And verse 27 says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen. So now we have to find out what are some of the signs that's dealing with the sun. What are some of the signs that's dealing with the moon? And what are the signs of the stars? Well, we go to Acts. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, Jesus tells us what the sign of the moon would be. I want you to understand that he says, I'm just going to say it straight out, the sun would be darkened. And so if the sun would be darkened, that would represent an eclipse that would happen. And we know that that has happened, an eclipse has happened. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 20, it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And now we go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. Remember, the book of Acts was right after the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we had the book of Acts. Okay. And so now we're going to go to Revelation. Revelation is also in the New Testament. It's your last book in the New Testament of your regular King James Version Bible, that is. Okay. So in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, John spoke and said, and I beheld or saw when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. And then he says, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And notice what the moon did. And the moon became as blood. And the moon became. Now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12. Revelation 8 and verse 12. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12 it says, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten or was struck, and the third part of the moon and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And the night likewise. So also there was a it is believed that even during the month of November, that it's going to be dark for 3 days straight. Now, whether this will actually happen or not, we don't know. But this is, you know, this is what's happening. It is believed that these things will happen. And so far, as these blood moons, so far it has proven to come to pass, and they have happened. So if we have anybody out here tonight, or out there tonight that's listening by phone, and if you desire questions or do you have any comments about what we're talking about tonight, all you have to do is press 1, and we will hear your comment. Do we have any listeners tonight?
I'm here listening, and I'm enjoying. And it just lets me know what you're talking about is when people get used to the normal, when you look up and see things that are normal become abnormal, then you know that God is confirming his word. And it's good to know that in spite of all this that is going to be taking place, that God is at work. And this is just a reminder that God is in control, because we look for signs, and there's nothing wrong with asking for signs. In the Old Testament, they ask for signs. They want to see signs of God as you're speaking. Now, here we have God saying that there will be signs, confirming that we can know the normal will become abnormal. Because
that's
what God is doing. So it's letting us know that we who believe can know that the invisible things that you cannot see with your natural eyes is what controls the things that we see that are visible. And God is a spirit. So we know that God is at work. And so this is just to let us know who believe that God will confirm his word. So when this great event happened, you are being reminded of this that said is to come to pass, will come to pass. And it's good to know that God is concerned about his creation, and he's concerned about the people that are here on this earth to know that he's God, and beside him, there is no other. So I thank God for the word, and I thank God how he's using you to expound upon the word so that we can understand and get a revelation of this so that we can pray, and as we look up and see these things coming to pass, we won't have a heart attack, massive heart attack, or falling down because God's word will come to pass. So let us be encouraged as we listen and hear as you expound the word of God so that we can actually not waste time, not just be just fumbling around, but that others might know and can share in this by knowing this, that God is doing what he said he's going to do, and his word is right now going forth as you minister the word. Is God doing? And just keep up the good work. I'm listening.
All right. Well, praise God. We thank God for you, evangelist, and thank God for your comments. And, the reason why, we feel that this topic is very important, because if it is one of the signs of Christ's return, then, we want to do all that we can to warn people to be ready. I wouldn't want anyone that I love to miss the rapture of Jesus Christ. Even though there are many different beliefs about Christ, as far as the rapture, some people believe that you will have a second chance. But I was listening to a guy on YouTube one night, and he was teaching that there won't be no second chance as it has been taught. And he explained all his reasons why. But for me, not to get in an argument, whether, you should believe it or shouldn't believe it, I just simply say be ready. If we are ready during the first trip, then we ain't got to worry about, the second trip, or worrying about whether there will be a second time. Through grace and mercy of the love of God in my heart, of course, I would want, if anyone to miss it, to have a second chance. But, the decision doesn't lie in me and lie in you or anyone else. It's in God, So I just pray that we'll all be ready, on that first trip. And I know the scripture says that in the second resurrection there is no power. But, I'm not going to argue whether there is a second chance or not. Like I said, again, I just want to be ready, and we want to make sure we tell the people that's listening out there how to be ready. And, many times I've heard you explain to a person how they can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And tonight we're also going to ask you to do it again. We'll pray it at least. We'll tell them at least three times before we leave this broadcast. I'll be telling them how to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because sometimes what the truth is, in order to understand spiritual things, you cannot really grasp it or understand spiritual things without being born again of the Spirit. You know, and so the Bible says a natural man can only understand things of the natural. So it takes a spiritual man to understand the things of the Spirit. And so if we pray that prayer and a person repeat it to God from their heart, you know, and mean what they're saying, and they accept Christ as Lord and Savior, they become born again of the Spirit right then and there. And then perhaps they can start, their eyes become open a lot better and start understanding better. So tonight, evangelists, before we even go farther, we're going to ask you to tell the people that's listening out there how they can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Would you go ahead and tell them?
Yes, well, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the purpose of Christ to the world. Because we know that the life that we have, that we come out of our mother's womb, is short-lived. That life that we came out of our mother's womb is not eternal. We are born spiritually dead. And that mm-hmm. life that is in Christ, which is our life, He is life. No matter how much money you have, no matter whether you're poor or whether you're rich, it doesn't matter. Life, Christ is life. And God sent Him into the world so that we can have eternal life. Because your life and my life, apart from Christ, is going back. This body is going back to the dust. It's going back to dirt. But that spirit within us, that soul will live somewhere throughout eternity. It's going
Amen.
Back to God. And when you think about Christ, the purpose of Him coming into the world is that the cross, when He shed His blood on that cross, that sin debt has been paid. It means
Amen.
That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's why the religious leader of Christ's time, when he said that, come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, what happened is this. They looked at Him as just being Joseph Miller's son. They didn't
mm-hmm.
see Him as the true and
Amen.
The living God.
Amen.
But he introduced Himself. He is God in the flesh. He said, I come that
Amen.
You might have life. Some people think that abundant life means having more stuff. But if you look in the scripture, it said that life doesn't consist in the abundance of what a person has. So
mm-hmm.
all that stuff that you have, he's not talking about that abundant life. It's Christ Himself come that you can have eternal life. And the scripture
Amen.
Ain't no testament. Without shedding the blood, there's no remission of sin. And it's something about the blood. There's something about the blood. There used to be offered up sacrifice, the blood, ram, goat, whatever. But when Christ came, Jesus Christ, He's that blood sacrifice. And when He died on that cross, that blood that He shed on that cross, God accepted that payment. Christ
That's right.
died for your sins. And when you accept Christ in your life, that means that you got eternal life. Your
Amen.
Life will never end. That means that you will live eternity in heaven. And that's the place that any person with common sense, you ask them where they want to go when they die, whether everybody else, they're going to say heaven. Because heaven is a place. That's where God lives. That's God's home is in heaven. And if you don't end up in heaven, there's a place called hell, which was created for the devil and the angels. So that's where you will spend eternity in hell. You'll be wanting to die and can't die. You'll be like the rich man. Huh? You'll be
Amen.
Looking for somebody to put some water on your tongue. Cool. So you'll be tormented the rest of your life. But you have an opportunity now to die to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and leave in your heart that He died for your sin, that God resurrected Him from the grave. See, because with your mouth, with your heart, you believe in your mouth, you confess. So when you accept Christ in your life, you're eternally secure. Ain't no devil in hell can take that away from you. When you got Christ in your heart, truly, 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 in your heart, That means that you don't have to worry about the clothes you should wear, worry about what you're going to put on. The Bible don't even take no thought for tomorrow because you have enough problems this day to deal with. But one thing for sure, you have Christ. Your life is eternally secure. And if you know you have eternal life, you're not afraid to live. You're not afraid to die. Right, because you have Christ. Christ is your life. Without Christ, you have no life. The life that we have is going to be cut short. The average lifespan of a man is supposed to go, I think it's 10, right, 70 years. And if by reason you live to be 80, that's short. It'll soon be over.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have a time. Christ could come right now while we are on this phone talking. We could be caught up. The signs that the pastor's talking about tonight, you may not ever get to see these signs. If your life should end right now, this very moment, where will you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity?
Right.
You got an opportunity right now as we expound upon what must I do to be saved. Repent, the scripture says, repent, every one of you. And it said, be baptized in the name of the Lord for the remission of your sin. The sin debt been paid. But being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is knowledge that Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ is saved. Then it says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That means the Spirit of Christ comes to live on the inside of you. And if Christ is inside of you, that life, eternal life, is springing up into what? Everlasting life. Out of your fellowship flow rivers of living water. That means you have the power inside of you. You can withstand anything. You don't have to fear who can kill your body. That's all man can do is kill the body. But Christ in you, he has control of all this. Fear him. Don't fear any man because he has the last say so for where you spend eternity. For this talk, if anything that I've said tonight concerning being born again, Christ is your life. No Christ, no life. You got the physical life. But the spiritual life, you are dead apart from Christ. You have no connection with God. God is not your heavenly Father. He is not your Savior. Only through Jesus Christ can God be your Savior, can God be your heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is God, and he paid the price. I hope that if anyone tonight have an understanding a little bit of what all we'll be talking about, the signs and the wonders in heaven. God is a spirit. He's invisible. But it's the invisible things that control the things that are visible. So let's just believe the word and be encouraged that God gives us his word. If you in this, and if you are saved, you should be able to talk to someone who are not saved. Break it down to them on the level that's coming to you tonight. Maybe they can understand. I got a brother, he's upset with me now because he's telling me that the woman that stand up for her rights concerning gay marriages that didn't give in, he said the laws of the land is the law. But I said to him, I said, but when it comes down to God's word, his law is first. Man-made law don't mean a thing, but when it comes down to God's word, that's what we live by, and that's what we die by. I think that's where we get our eternal life from, the true and the living God. His feeling was hurt, but it's the truth. We have to obey the word of God. In order to be saved, obey the word of God. You may not understand it all, but one thing you can know that what? You're going to die. One day, you're going to die. And it could be in a minute, but if you are born again, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you will live throughout eternity. With all the hell we see that's happening down here on this earth, who would want to stay even down here? That's more than dying, going to hell. No, no, no. I want to be in heaven where God lives. I want to be there where I know no more dying, no more sickness, no more. It just be no more darkness, light. There won't be no more evil. There won't be no more sin. Can you imagine living in a place like that forever? Forever?
Amen.
It's accept Christ in your life. Just accept him. It's a good life. Even there is no heaven and a hell. It's a good life when you live by the word of God and have Christ in your life. But we know there is a heaven and a hell because the word backs it up. But in your life and try to just take it to wherever you go. and just say it just like God give it to you. Some will accept and some won't. But every
Amen.
Time you win a soul to Christ, that means that it's to your account. That means that the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to Christ. And I hope as we encourage each other to know that what, there's a lot of people that are listening out there. They may not say anything, but they got ears. They're hearing.
Amen.
And we wouldn't be here tonight wasting our time just
Amen.
Talking.
Amen.
If we felt that this was in vain, it's not a waste
That's right.
of time. So I pray that the pastor and Nathan Hills and how faithful he is at Love Talk and how persistent he is to keep this going. And I pray God would give
Amen.
Him and he, that he will forever have God the center of his life until God calls him
Amen.
To home, that he be blessed.
That's right. Amen. I agree with that, Evangelist. And again, we thank God for you sharing that with us tonight. And like I say, if anybody is listening tonight, Evangelist haven't told you what you have to do. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And all you have to do is just ask him to come in your heart, in your life, and save you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you pray that prayer sincerely from your heart. You know, you got to pray it sincerely. You can't just say words. Because the Bible says God looks on the heart of man. So, again, we thank God for Evangelist Hampton tonight. And the reason why we are preaching and teaching the gospel because, first of all, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says how can they believe on something that they have never heard about? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? And so, you know, even for those who may be listening tonight or may not be listening, because according to what John was telling me, that sometimes people don't come in on Saturday nights and tune in and listen to what we are saying until afterwards. He said later he found out they go back and they listen to the broadcast. And he says a lot more people than what we get at 9 o'clock. So either way, the words are being spread, and it proves exactly what Evangelist Hampton has been saying to us tonight, that the word of God shall not return unto him void, but it's going to accomplish what he sent it. And so God will watch over his word also to perform it, is what the Bible says in Jeremiah 1 and 12. So before we even go farther, you know, I felt that God had place this in my spirit to talk about a little bit too, and I don't want to keep going too long, but I want to talk about the denial of God and the denial of Jesus Christ, because some people deny that there is a God, and all of this is dealing also with the return of Christ, because Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And we know that before he returns again, the Bible also says in Thessalonians chapter 5 that there will be a great falling away first. And so if there's a great falling away, the question is, why are people falling away? People are falling away because it's kind of strange. And like you say, Evangelist, there are so many crazy, strange things that's happening today. That even for people who are called atheists, who don't believe in God, they now have a channel on TV. And there was one guy who he was trying to get people to vote and, you know, to say that, you know, we don't believe in God. You know, he said, if you support this message, you know, say this and say that. So all of these things are showing the sign of exactly what Jesus Christ was talking about. I was looking on YouTube, too, and it was saying that millions of Christians are turning away from the faith and becoming atheists now. So, man, we see the signs. We see exactly what the Bible says. There shall be a great falling away, and all this atheist movement is a part of getting people to deny that there is a God. So this is not strange unto Scripture. As a matter of fact, we go to Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, and David, because people have denied God, say the fool has said in his, and that word his doesn't mean just female, in his or her heart, that there is no God. The fool has said this. So, if you read down a little farther in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, God was saying that he was looking down from heaven to see who did seek him and to see who did understand. You know, so God wants us to seek for him. And, God also, there's a scripture that says that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And the honor of kings is, to find out the matter. So, in Psalms chapter 14, I'm gonna read it a little bit. I was just saying where it was. In Psalms chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And then it says in verse 2, "The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." So he wants people to seek him, verse 3 says, "They are all going aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So God has been denied, again, by atheists, and he's being denied on a greater level today. Everything that concerning the signs of Jesus Christ are on a greater level than they have ever been in history. We have had more earthquakes in this generation. We have had more gay people in this generation than it has ever been in the world. Again, we see all the signs. We see Sodom and Gomorrah. We see Noah and the flood, because people don't believe because they can't see. And in Noah's day, we know that people had never saw, or that it was possible that people never saw it rain before, because when we go back to Genesis chapter 2 and around the 5th verse, it says a mist went up. And so all people that had ever saw, according to scripture, was just probably a mist, but they never saw it rain before. And so when Noah said that it was going to rain, they laughed at him. And a lot of people are laughing at Christians today. And even in Genesis chapter 19, when Noah told the young men who was with one of his daughters that God was going to come to destroy the city, the Bible says that they took it as in a mockery way, or as in a fun way, something to laugh at. And so people today are also taking it in a laughing manner. They're not serious. They don't think that these things are really happening. But when you can open up your physical eyes and see all these things, I don't understand how you can deny it.
Yep. And going back to what you said about the scripture, about saying even a fool himself has said in his heart there is no God. And the reason why the fool says in his heart himself there is no God, because the Bible said that nature itself revealed to us there is a God.
Amen.
So the fool,
amen.
He said it in his heart because he knows that nobody in their right mind with common sense gonna believe that there's not a God. It's nature itself. If you never open up the Bible, if you never read a scripture, nature itself speaks for God. The invisible,
amen,
speaks for the invisible, which is God doing nature itself. So you got a lot of,
amen,
fools out here. And you ask the question why so many are falling away. In my opinion, when I think about Jesus said that he didn't pray for the world, he prayed not for the world, but them that were believing on his name. He said, now we are not of the world, we are in the world. So if we are,
amen,
in the world and not of the world, I always ask the question when I hear things that I hear coming and people are saying things that's contrary to the scripture. I know that that's not coming from God. That's coming from the world.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
It comes from God, comes from above. The scripture confirms it. So when people
Amen.
Backslide and go back, that means that what? They're accepting what the world's saying rather than accepting what God is saying. So I'm going to stay with the word, because the world speaks of itself, and God speaks of those who he sent back into the world to represent him, to be ambassadors for Christ. So when all that stuff starts coming, I say, where is this coming from? And if I can't find it in the scripture, and the scripture can't confirm it, I see it as what? The devil, self, flesh. I see that the Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Some people thrive on being deep, so deep, until they're so far out of the will of God, until they can get so, what I call so charisma. I say charisma in what they are doing, until those who are saved sometimes get caught up in the hype. And if they get
Amen.
Caught up in the hype, you start believing that stuff. But I bind it in the name of Jesus, because I believe that
Amen.
God's word is true. It cannot fail. It's like you see the word of God going forward. It will accomplish that which God has sent it to accomplish. And the word of God, but you see the church, it will stand. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's church will stand. And I just pray for those who are in a backslidden condition with faith. Where is that stuff coming from? Go back to the word.
Amen.
Let
Amen.
The Holy Spirit remind you that the word of God, you can distinguish whether it's coming from the world or whether it's coming from above. And it ain't coming from above, because if it comes from above, it's not going to cause you to backslide. It's going to make you come closer and closer in your relationship with Christ, because that is your life. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, we almost through with this segment, but I'm gonna keep on talking about the denial, because, see, again, we talked about right there that people are denying God. They're denying God, and again, part of the reason is because they cannot see God, and, you know, and so that's why some people say, no, man, ain't no God, and, you know, I saw a movie, they said, well, where is God at? Where he is? And I don't see him, so therefore, that's one of the reasons why people don't believe in God. They say, I can't see him. And even when it came down to Jesus Christ himself, I read the Quran before, because I'll admit I have studied different religions and different faiths to understand why this person believes this and that person believed that. And while I was young in the gospel, I used to argue with them. But then God has told me, say, no, John, calm down. You know, just listen to them and, you know, get to understand why they believe what they believe, you know, and more importantly, understand why you believe what you believe, you know. And so in the Quran, it, you know, when it was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, down in its footnotes, there was a group. It mentions, now the Quran doesn't say that it teaches this, but it teaches that there was a group of people that was called the Doste, and they taught that Jesus Christ had never really existed before. It said that he was just an ideal that Mary had. And so the question is, if that is true, then we would be in trouble, because if Jesus never existed to save us, then that means we never had a savior, you know.
Amen.
So the devil would want you to believe that so that you wouldn't be saved. Then it's also believed that Jesus was born by some, but that he was not virgin born. Now, there was a group called the Hebrew Israelites, and I'll admit they are very knowledgeable, but they are denying the fact of Jesus being virgin-born. And even when it was a Bible scholar called Grant Jeffries, and he died, I think, a year or two ago, and he was talking about that there was a poll taken for a bunch of preachers, and it was asked the question to these preachers, how many of y'all really believe in the virgin birth? And out of 100 preachers, 75 of them say that they didn't believe that Jesus was virgin born. So, again, his birth was denied. Not only his existence, but then his birth was denied, or you know. So if Jesus wasn't virgin born, again, we couldn't be saved and he couldn't be our savior because he would have been born a sinner like you and me, you know. And so, and then there is a belief that, yeah, he was virgin born. But then somebody took it to another level and said, but he had sinned before. And so we see that in the Bible where they had accused Jesus of blasphemy. They say that we are not stoning you for the good works that you have done, but because, you know, but for blasphemy. And I think that's in John chapter 10. And so if Jesus would have blasphemy, that would have been a sin. So if he would have sinned, again, he couldn't be our savior because sin cannot take away sin. We know that. Only one without sin could take away sin. And I'm almost through. Some believe that he lived and that he lived without sin. Even 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us that Christ was without sin because it said that God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him or through him. So some do believe that he never did sin. But then when it came down to his crucifixion, the Quran teaches this. It teaches that Jesus was virgin born, but then it denies that he was crucified. It says that that they have said in boast that we have crucified or killed Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of God. But it says, but they crucified him not, nor killed him. If Jesus didn't really die on the cross, again, he couldn't be our savior because the Quran, the Muslims teach that Judas was substituted in Jesus' place. And so if it was Judas on the cross and Judas was born as a man like you and me, we couldn't be saved. So we go to Hebrews 9:22 that tells us without the shedding of blood, especially without Christ's blood, there could be no remission or no forgiveness of sin. I'm almost through. Of course, his burial wasn't denied. I mean, you know, I guess for those who didn't believe that he existed would deny burial because they say, well, he ain't existed and surely he wasn't buried. But we can only look at the burial being denied in that sense. But definitely his resurrection was denied. And that's found in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, it states that when Jesus rose and the disciples came to the tomb and the or to his grave, the angels came. The angels said to them, "I know that you are looking for Jesus, you know, who was buried, but he's not here. You know, he is risen." And so when all this had happened, the guards they knew that they were getting in trouble, because they fell asleep while they was guarding the tomb of Jesus. And so they was paid to say that someone stole the body of Jesus and that he wasn't really risen from the dead. So part of Christ has been denied. Why? Amen. Because if the devil can get us to believe those things, then we would not have a savior. And finally...
And then to believe that, that would mean that God never manifested himself in the flesh. That would believe that there is no God. Because God manifests himself in the flesh, meaning that God did this thing all by himself. He didn't get no outside help. So God manifested himself in the flesh and become a man. And it didn't lessen him from being God. So therefore, to believe that stuff that the world is trying to get us to believe is to believe that there is no God. Because God himself manifests himself in flesh and take on the name Jesus Christ. So God did it all by himself. So that makes us to know that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that means you believe that there is no God. Because what? God and Jesus Christ is one. So therefore, God's plan of salvation is to what? Bring us back into relationship with him all by himself. But he manifests himself in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So if Jesus Christ, God Almighty, Himself, is one.
Amen.
That's what you're going to see. You're going to see God Almighty Himself, one. You're not going to see two people sitting on the throne.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So therefore,
that's right.
We believe that what God Himself have done this thing, and it's marvelous in our sight to know that God's plan will be fulfilled. And I accept that plan, believing that God Himself manifested in the flesh, died for my sins so that I can have eternal life. There's no other way that I can survive without having that hope. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he that comes
Amen.
To God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we as believers have to diligently seek him. I mean, don't just take this half-hearted, but get in the Word. Search for him. Find him. And
That's
the
right.
more you search him out, the more you're going to reveal to you. And it's the same thing. God's Word is not going to change. They want us to believe that Jesus Christ is not God. In fact, that's why they crucified God, because they didn't believe that he was who he said he is. And he did it for a purpose, so that you and I can have eternal life. Without the shedding
Amen.
Of blood, no remission of sin. Spirit can't shed blood. Spirits don't believe. But he took on
mm-hmm.
flesh, and he believed that blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that
Amen.
Blood sacrifice is God Almighty Himself. And the devil, like you say, want us to what? To believe that there is no God. And if we can
Amen.
Believe that Jesus Christ is not who he said he is, that's what we believe. There is no God. Because he is
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. Even though I know.
This, man, you got to set me on fire right now.
All right. Well, praise God. Yeah. And even though we know in the Old Testament that, you know, people did believe in God before Jesus was manifested in the flesh, because we know that Moses met him at the burning bush, the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like you said, a lot of people will deny or don't basically understand how God became a man through the flesh or in the flesh through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, like you said, but there is scripture to back up what you're saying, because John chapter 14, Jesus tells us, he said, if you believe in God, here's what he also said. He said, believe also in me. Because
mm-hmm.
he pointed out that way because he knew that some people do believe in God but didn't believe in him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they knew that God was only manifested as a spirit in the Old Testament through Moses and David and Abraham and all like that. He hadn't come in the flesh yet until the New mm-hmm. Testament. And so to back up what you're saying, Timothy puts it this way, I think it's 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified
Amen.
In the spirit, seen
Amen.
Of angels, preach on the Gentiles, and receive up into glory. So
Amen.
You know, God had became a man in the flesh through the person of Jesus Christ. It didn't say an angel was, it said God was manifested
Amen.
In the flesh.
Amen.
God was seen of angels, you know, and preach unto the Gentile, it was God. So, yeah, amen. So there is confirmation, but it's just that me and you may understand it, but for a person who haven't studied and haven't prayed about it and haven't let God allow them to get the understanding of it, they don't understand it. As a matter of fact, I had some Jehovah's Witnesses came by the house, and we talked. And, you know, I don't run from them or whatever. For a long time, I've sat down and I talked with them to understand, again, you know, what they believe and whatever. Because at first, when sisters came and they started asking me some questions, and, you know, I turned around and I asked them some questions. And then, you know, they said, oh, well, we'll come back with you. You know, we'll get one of the brothers to come with us the next time. And so I'll say 2 weeks later, they got one of the brothers, real nice guy, and he came, and I talked with him about some of the same things I asked them about. And, you know, it left him puzzled, and, you know, and so he was like, oh, well, you know, I never seen it that way. And so, you know, but one thing he did say, he said, well, you know what, man, he said, I enjoyed the conversation along with you, and he said, I feel that, you know, we all can learn from one another. And I say to him that it's true. I said, the Bible says that every joint supplies one to another. So not everybody is on the same level, the same understanding. But, and I, like I said, I know that we have been on the air for a while. I don't want to, you know, overdo it. And but one last part of that denial part is not only the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial and resurrection of Christ. Of course, I've never seen where nobody deny his ascension. And again, I guess the only time, again, that would be denied if we have to go back to the person who never believed that he existed.
Okay?
But then his coming back is also denied. And we find that in Scripture because in the book of Peter, it says that in the last days there shall be scoffers, those who will make fun and laugh about the belief of the believers who believe that Jesus is coming back. And say, you know, they'll say words like, man, it has been said ever since my fathers died that Jesus was coming back, or, you know, way back when the forefathers died. And say, well, where is his return? So, therefore, people are going to make fun of us talking about the return of Christ.
Amen. A lot of that going
on. Exactly. I'll admit, there were some people that I saw. It's happening, and so that's the reason why I feel like God put this in my spirit. When I was telling them that, I said, well, don't you know that the Bible says that the blood moons could also be a sign of his return? And they kind of laughed, and I was like, wow, man. And so right then and there, I said, God, why are these people laughing? Do they don't really believe or what? And then God had took me back to the scriptures, and that's why I had expressed it tonight, that how they laughed. When Noah told him about the flood coming, how Lot's son-in-law had laughed when he told him about God was going to destroy the city and to get out, and you know how people just laughing about the return of Christ, and so it's going to happen the same way. While they're laughing, God going to get the last laugh.
Amen. Amen.
So you know.
Then it's just somewhere in the scripture that a time will come when they're going to be running to the mountain, saying, mountain, fall on us. They're going to be trying to commit suicide and can't because there won't be no way for them to hide.
That's right. Yes, you'll see from them. Amen, amen. And the Bible also says that one part we didn't talk about, going back to those scriptures, like we say, the sun. When Jesus said there should be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, we pointed out that the sun is going to become like, and it had already happened a couple times before too. The sun, one of the signs of the sun is that the sun is going to be darkened like an eclipse. And we already pointed out that the moon is going to be like blood. But I don't know if you remember what he said, what's going to happen with the stars.
And for some people, what you say is because of seeing these things happen, that they're going to be having heart attacks because of the fear that is coming, that they don't understand these things. And they will be, because of these signs, and one, they're going to be, heart's going to be, having massive heart attacks. But for us who believe, we can look up because they say, because your redemption draws
not, right? That's right. Amen. 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 And one of the signs of the stars, he says that the stars shall fall from heaven. So the stars are going to fall from heaven. And someone told me tonight, I mean, not tonight, but I'll say about two nights ago, they said, I saw a star fall from heaven, and it had looked like some kind of gas was behind it or something. They said, I seen a star fall before, but never like that. You know, and so, you know, if we see one falling star, and, you know, if you ever seen one, and if Jesus tells you stars going to fall from heaven, then that's a sign right there that, hey, if you saw one of them fall, it's possible for the rest of them to fall, like he said.
Amen.
So, you know,
amen.
We got to get on board and you know, just
amen.
Believe what God said, you know. And so, yeah, man. And some of the signs that's also going to happen where men's hearts shall fail them, not only is the New World Order getting ready to happen, it is believed, and when you go to YouTube, that Pope Francis coming to America is going to announce the New World Order. And then you have these FEMA camps being set up, you know, to because they're going to try to set the martial law. You got scientists that are taking DNA from humans and making all kind of crazy animals. Like you have, you even have the DNA of a lion and a tiger mixed together, and they call this thing a lager. And this lager is so big that they say it's about the size of a car. And they have real pictures of it. Yeah.
In other words, that crossbreeding, that's breeding human with animals with DNA, and this is what they're going to get.
Yeah, the FEMA thing deal with these concentration camps that they have set up to, you know, lock people up and all that, especially if they don't obey what is called the martial law.
Mm.
Yeah, but this thing with the scientists, you know, and the DNA thing, and, you know, you can imagine, it might almost be like, what, even though Revelation talks about a lot about symbolism with the four-headed beast and all that kind of stuff, but the way these scientists are going, man, it seems like they might even make it happen physically, because if they got a lion and a tiger mixed up together, that they couldn't name it a lion or a tiger, but they had to call it a lager, you know. And like I say, this is a real creature now. These things are huge. So if these things ever get loose,
it's almost like you took something out of a horror movie, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, and it's believed that they mixed a man along with something else, and they mixed the DNA with a human and a cow and a baby. A cow was born, and it sounds like a human being when it cries. Yeah, man. And so, like the book says, men's hearts will fear them. Well, you know, yeah, they'll be fearful with all these things that's going to happen upon the earth. And the Bible says there's going to be great deceptions. So, and the thing about that deception, again, like I said, not only is it talk about the Blue Bean Project, but they are also able to make things look so real. Like they can make it look like a floor is there, but you go to step on that floor, and there ain't no telling how far you might fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're able to make it look that real. And like I said, they got invisible suits. You might, you know, they might put an armor tank in the road and put that suit on it, which they have done with a man, where they couldn't tell where the man was running. And, you know, you drive in your car and bam, you crash into it. And the only way you recognize that it's there is because you hit it, you know. And so it's a lot of deceptions that's here. God's just sending them strong delusions where they're going to believe a lot of things. That's going to be a lot of deception.
It's a strong delusion that they believe a lie rather than to believe the truth.
Amen.
And you think about how God's going to take care of all this. He said, this time it won't be by water, but this time it'll be by fire. That means that earth will be burned clean. All these things that man has invented and set up, and this evil stuff, fire will take care of that. And that's why we don't, we persuade people, we plead, we cry people to accept Christ, Jesus Christ as Lord, so they can escape that the wrath of God that is yet to be poured out by fire. We just have to keep doing what God called us to do in spite of being ridiculed, because if one sinner is saved, one turn from their wicked ways, it'll be worth it all. And by doing this, I mean, we can't be intimidated. We see all these things. That's why we're preaching and talking about it, so that maybe those who, fear is a good thing when it turns you away and turns you to God. And I believe that, we're not trying to scare anybody. We're just out here giving the truth.
Amen.
And
that's right.
They don't want to take the truth. They don't want to accept the truth, because accepting the truth means that what? Light will always expel darkness. And people want the pleasure of sin more than the pleasure of God. So therefore, what? We persuade men, because we know this is true. We know it's going to happen. So we are this offspring of the earth. But nevertheless, we are fools for Christ's sake. And I'm just saying, your father just to sit and listening to hear these things, you know, to be reminded
Amen.
Of these things.
Amen, amen. Well, so, well, we're going to go ahead and end this broadcast. And again, Evangelist, we thank God for you coming on tonight. You know, like I said, I know it's been past an hour probably. And, you know, we don't want to wear the people out. So, but we thank God for those who are listening and who will listen later. And again, we want to tell you how to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Again, like we said, we feel that this is a very important segment. And
very
we
important.
Want to make sure that we tell you how to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't know whether he will come back during the last blood moon or not. We don't know. We can't tell you that. But we can tell you that if, in case if he do come, be ready. Don't you can't get
Amen.
Ready, but you got to be ready. And so,
Amen.
Again, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you will confess or admit with your mouth that Jesus mm-hmm. is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, it says you shall be saved. Verse 10,
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession or admitting that you believe is made unto salvation. And verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, again, all you have to do, if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you believe that, all you have to pray and say to God from your heart is that, God, I come to you a sinner. Come to you a sinner, because in order to be saved, you got to confess that you are a sinner.
Amen.
I come to you a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and was raised again from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and save me.
Save me, yes.
Make me born again. Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
As your sign or as your seal, that I belong to you, and that I'll have the power to live for you and be a witness for you.
Yes, Lord.
And God, place me in the right fellowship of believers that's preaching and teaching your word. Sign my name on heaven's roll to never ever be blotted out.
Yes.
Because you don't want your name just on the church roll, but you want your name in heaven. Amen. In the book of life. Sign my name in the book of life, never to be blotted out. And if you pray that prayer according to scriptures, not according to my opinion or Evangelist Hampton opinion, if you pray this prayer according to scriptures, the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, will watch over his word to perform what his word says, not my word. Amen. And he says his word won't return back to him void, but it's going to accomplish what he's saying it's supposed to do. If you pray that prayer according to the Bible, not me now, read it for yourself. According to the Bible, you are saved.
Saved.
You are saved. And the word saved simply means that God will snatch you back from what is to come.
Yes.
Amen. It don't mean that you're not going to go through any trials, any tribulations, or any persecution in life. But it simply means for all eternity, God will save you from eternal death and give you eternal life. Amen. So we thank God for the listeners one more time. And Evangelist Hampton, if you don't mind, we want you to pray us out. Amen.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the living word, Lord, for your word is sharp, powerful, quicker than any two-edged sword, Lord. We pray that those that are listening, Lord, give them an increase, Lord. There be any sick among us, Lord. Touch them and heal them, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know you're able to exceedingly above which we could ever think. Ever thought, Lord, we pray that this night, Lord Jesus Christ, will be a night of remembrance, Lord. Bless Hills, Nathan, and bless all those that will be tuning in later on this broadcast. Lord, we pray that your word, Lord Jesus Christ, it will accomplish that with those who you will have to hear this, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your divine presence. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for just allowing us, Lord, to be a vessel, Lord, to be used of you, Lord. Let your word, Lord, travel the airways, Lord. Get into the heart, Lord Jesus Christ. Save that mother, save that daughter, save that son, Lord. Save that elder person, Lord. Father, in the name of God, go behind the prison walls, Lord. We forever give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. Amen. God bless.
God bless.
All right, well, amen. Evangelist, we thank God again for you, man.
God bless you.
Amen. All right, John.
What kind John. Of love would bear my sin?
Hello?
From all of them to call an enemy a friend.
John.
This love I cannot comprehend. Jesus did it all for me. Yes, he's the one of whom I speak. His sacrifice was so great. His mission was to save. So he
is alive.